people think that it's just about power and force, but it's not. It's not just about power and force. It's about the type of force, and it's about the location of the force, about the energy being used. So, you know, just because someone can take a lot of pain with this, they may not be able to take a lot of impact with this. And so, like, it's really kind of important so to see the difference.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, my sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today I am so excited. I have Maurice James next to me. Welcome. And you are the founder, creator of Kinky Comedy, which is just kind of like bringing together comedy and kink and playfulness, which I love. But you also, the reason I asked you here today is because you also are a man of the art of impact play, and you're really good at it. And so I kind of wanted you to give some of your insights, and you even brought some rope, and we have so many floggers here. So thanks so much for being here.
Yes. No, thanks for having me. Like I said, the algorithm loves you. And so I've been seeing the podcast. And then when you asked me on, I was like, I'm important enough to be on a podcast? It's amazing. Thank you. So yeah, this is great. Kinky comedy is sort of, you know, my full-time job and passion, and really has been a labor of love. We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary about a month ago, and it started in like literally my backyard, and now we're talking about expanding to, you know, we're in LA and San Diego, going to be expanding to New York and potentially Austin, San Francisco. So we have some, you know, exciting growth coming up, and I'm literally living my dream. So, you know, it's kind of really crazy.
I didn't realize you were full time with it now.
Well, you know, I lost my job, my place, and my girlfriend like in the same month, which are the prerequisites to becoming a full time comedian. So I think that's kind of what happened. And so I was like, yeah, might as well do, you know, the thing that you love when you have no other options. I think that's usually how it goes. So yeah, it's been kind of like something I've been focusing on and really trying to scale it up. And Kinky Comedy sort of really has a place in our community and in the larger world to bring people together. We like to say, come and laugh and come, you know, or, you know, come and laugh, but not necessarily at the same time, or maybe at the same time we like to bring people together. So it's there's no two better ways to do that than when you get people together that are all laughing together or having sex. So yeah,
that's I love that. Yeah. No, I've talked about it a lot on here. I have yet to attend one yet, but I will. I know I will. But it's just a great, I talk a lot about how people are so fearful of like where to meet, you know, people for threesomes or group play, or how to even like just get out of that comfort zone. And I feel like events like yours are the perfect place to do it. So I'm always recommending Kinky Comedy. So I know I've sent a lot of people your way.
Thank you. Yes. We will have an affiliate link somewhere, you know, click below here.
There we go. Thank you.
Maybe there. I don't know. But yeah, no, I think that it's funny because there is this concept called munches. Like when I first got into the sort of lifestyle kink scene, we would have these things called munches, which is basically just sort of, we always like to come up with new terms for basic things that everyone already does. But basically it was just meetups, you know, sort of non-sexual meetup spaces. So if you, you know, met someone on back in the day, it was Fet Life or, you know, Lifestyle Lounge way back in the day, or Field now, you don't want to meet them in your bedroom or at a sex party. You want to say, hey, let's go to a bar. And a lot of us would sort of, you know, say, okay, let's all meet at this place and we'll all bring the matches that we made, or, and we can all sort of just meet up and connect. And so this, one of the, you know, inspirations for doing this was, and making it regular, was to sort of have those fun, safe meetups that you can meet people who are in the lifestyle scene or just come to a comedy show. So all of our shows, you know, there's a, it's a comedy show on its face. Like what Kinky Comedy is a comedy show. It also has a really nice mixer afterwards where we, you know, get to connect and there's, you know, meet different people that may have come. And so, and then
the performances too.
Yeah.
There's some playfulness.
We have performances. There's a headlining comics, like legitimately hilarious comics that are like, you know, really blowing up. And then there's like a Kinky Games that I like to do at the end of every show just to sort of engage with the audience. And, you know, like last time we played Kinky Musical Chairs on stage. That was really, really fun. Where if you didn't get a chair, you had to do a kinky challenge, like, you know, get spanked or sexy dance or seduce an audience member by eating an imaginary banana, which was
that's fun.
A good time. Yeah. Make sure you peel it first.
Have you always been, because you're the host of the show, and have you always felt like a host in your life? Like even growing up, have you always been kind of that person that wants to like take the stage?
It's so funny. Yes. Although I don't think I really embraced it, because for a large portion of my life, I was living someone else's dream of what I thought I should be or what I should be. And I think a lot of us do that. You know, we sort of live into what we're expected to be, or we live into what we think we should be, or what our parents want us to be, or what society wants us to be. And so there was a lot of that. Like I have this joke where, you know, my dad is a doctor and my brother's a doctor, my sister's a lawyer. And he's like the Martin Luther King Jr. of medicine, because he was the first Black doctor in the state of Mississippi, an eye surgeon, you know, and there was a lot to live up to. And I really tried to for a large part of my life. And then I found out that Martin Luther King III, you know, was hosting a show on Discovery Plus, and I felt really okay about my life being a comedian. You know, like it was sort of like the stakes
validating.
Kind of, you know, it was validating. You know, so I think once I sort of, you know, took accountability and ownership of like, hey, this is who I am, and living my own truth, all of these things that became more clear. I was like, oh my God, I've always been into comedy. I used to be in an improv comedy troupe in New York. I've always loved hosting, and I've always loved to engage with the audience. So I think these skills that I'm doing on the show are things that I've always had and done, but did not necessarily see them as a viable career choice or something you can do professionally. I think that's one of the things I love most also about the show, is that it's showing that you can be yourself, live fully expressed, and also have a business, you know, like I think that the hard part is that oftentimes people, you know, look at either kink or lifestyle as something you do on the weekends, or something that's a hobby, or something that you have to hide from your normal life. And to a large degree, you do. I'm not saying everyone has to be out, you know, their jobs may not allow it, but to have an example of, you know, you can be you and live your life and make a living all at the same time is really one of the things I'm most proud of.
Yeah, that's the magic. And I'm working on that too with my own thing.
We're
doing it.
I love it.
But what about like, where did kink start for you? And did you always feel I don't know, empowered in like expressing and exploring your kinks, or did that come kind of later in life?
I think for me, kink started with a really, I first got in lifestyle from matching on Tinder with a woman who invited me to a dinner party. She did not tell me, she actually broke one of the kink commandments, but she didn't tell me it was a play party. And it would end up being like this play party. So I was at the dinner, you know, with these people. And I was like, oh yeah, it was like a murder mystery. And then, all of a sudden people started just taking off their clothes, and I'm kind of like, okay, you know? And I think I see this all the time. Once you're in a kink setting, you either jump in or you don't. You pretty much know if you're a kinky person or not, because if you're sitting there and everyone sort of takes off their clothes and you're sitting there like, all right, I guess I'm in, you know, then you're in, or if you leave, you're out. So I think, it connected to something I always was into. And then I got more into kink as I sort of dug in further. And, you know, I always like to say kink is like the sexiest form of therapy it can be, you know, because it deals with like deep, just deep emotional traumas sometimes, or just deep issues or things that you want to explore, these sort of things that sort of uncovers in you, or, you know, it sort of, it brings to light, but then it does it in like the hottest, sexiest way possible. So I was fortunate enough to be in a really healthy community of other DOMs and kinksters. So, and I'm a kind of a sex nerd. And I think that also helps. You're like, oh, what's that? I want to learn about that. Ooh, what's that? And then you sort of like learn the technique, but then once you connect the technique with something very personal in you that you want to explore, that's when it really gets powerful, you know, like that's when you really get to like the good stuff.
And it is juicy and delicious and lovely. And you've flogged me before. And I want to like dive into kind of some technique as best as we can.
Yeah.
Because there is a technique to it. And I think there's a sensuality to it too. And even like, I don't know if we could just educate a little bit about how you kind of intentionally curate an impact play scene and even like how to flip it right or flick it in the right way and stuff to help people. Cause I feel like it's a great impact tool to like start with.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think what I like to say is there, well, you know, first of all, when creating a scene, the most important thing is the connection between the two people. You know, like you see a lot of impact play. It's very visual. It's very performative. You can sort of go to shows and it's awesome. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is a connection between the top and the bottom or the dom and the sub or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to remember that submission is given. Submission is earned. Mm-hmm. Submission is a trust. It's a bottom giving the submission to the top or the dom because they feel safe, they feel trusted, and then they take them on a journey or they build a scene around them. So the most important thing is the connection between let's say the dom and the sub in this situation. And I always like to say, you know, you've got to have the components there. It's got to have, you know, negotiations. It's got to really understand and communicate what is needed, what is desired, what the intentionality is. Mm-hmm. There's like, and negotiations basically is the verbal contract and the understanding between two people in the scene or more people in the scene. You know, and we can sort of walk through them, but just the various components. And then you sort of set the boundaries and the containers of the scene. The idea is that, you know, you can do anything, but when you set up like a container, like a sandbox, once you set up the boundaries of a sandbox, you can do anything in that sandbox. And from a sub's perspective, it's way easier to go super deep and to really release and really surrender once you know you're in a safe space. It's hard. You can't really surrender unless you understand and feel safe and feel trust and feel an understanding that the containers of a scene are well set. So before you do any of the hitting or the impact, you've got to set the container. It's got to be safe and it's got to be very deliberately done. There's a lot of techniques for that. And then once you're inside the container, you can do a lot of fun stuff. You know, I like to say that the first and most basic impact tool you got is your hand, you know? So like, yes, you can get all the fancy tools, but you can just do a scene with you and the partner and, you know, your hand and then sort of go from there. So impact is a really specific, you know, one form of play. There's a sensation play, there's rope play, there's breath play, there's, you know, knife play if you want to go to that degree. So this is one component of it. But yeah, there's a lot of tools that are most common, like floggers and beaters and whips, like dragon tails. Like that. Yeah, crops. I didn't bring my crop today, but there's a lot of those as well. So yeah, it's super fun. And you can sort of get all into it. Like I have my colors are black and gold, and you can sort of like design it and then get, you know, super fashionable. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I have some purple vibes with, nice, with ours.
Black I see a purple vibe aura from you. Yeah, yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
I remember when you were flogging me, I felt like, yeah, of course we talked about all that stuff. And I think like the intention really was to kind of like relax and get in the mood too. And, but it felt very sensual and it felt, but then it was powerful, you know, with the hard slaps, but I felt like they followed with like these levels of, softness too. Mm. I think maybe you were just being intuitive to like what I like, but do you have any advice for people on how to like really create this like flow? Cause it just for me, it felt like you were just like, you were in it. And maybe you just get like really like honed in on like the energy of it. But is there any tips you could help with people to kind of be really intuitive and allow it to kind of like organically flow?
Yeah. I mean, I am energetic as well. And sometimes we do a transformational kink workshop, with me and Zen and Matthias. And so we were sort of actually in the process of done one that was really successful. And so we're doing more, and I can definitely like, put links in there as well, but, you know, and sort of send that to you guys. But yeah, basically, you know, to create and design a scene, it's most important to sort of understand and connect with the, let's say if you're a dom and you're talking to a sub, is to understand the needs and the boundaries and the guides of, and sort of boundaries of what the sub is. So for example, this is where the negotiation is so important. One, you first want to build trust and understanding. So if you are working with a sub, you want to, you know who they are. You want to have a conversation with them. I like to sort of, you know, you go through a bit of a checklist, you know, sort of like, okay, what are your intentions? You know, what would you like to see? What are your boundaries? What are your hard no's? What are your hard limits? Are there parts in your body that are sensitive? Are there parts of your body that you know you want me to avoid? Oh, I have my hip is sensitive, or, you know what, I have a lot of tension in my shoulders, or I got beat on my left leg when I was a kid and I don't like that being touched. Like there's so many different things. And so, being curious and there's, you know, many checklists that you can sort of download and sort of, you know, sort of logistically go down, but they all follow the fundamental principle of understanding the boundaries and limits of what the sub wants. And then, once you're like, you know, you go through that and you say, hey, you know, what are you into? What are you not into? What are the boundaries? What are the guidelines? What are your intentions? What would you like to achieve? And the worst type of sub or scene is when I hear, oh, I don't have any boundaries. I don't have any guy, you know, like I have no hard limits or anything like that. I'm like, whatever you want to do is fine. Hate that. It's the worst because A, they're lying, or they don't know yet, or and that idea of just throwing yourself into it can be very dangerous, especially with an inexperienced dom, or, you know, obviously an inexperienced sub. So what I like to do is I like to say, okay, you don't have any you know, hard limits. Can I poop on your chest? You know, and yeah. And then they laugh and I'm like, oh yeah, not that. I'm like, so you do have a limit. So it's a jokey way to get there. Some of them are like, actually, yes, you can go ahead and poop on my chest. Which I'm like, oh, wow, you don't have any limits. And that's a whole different conversation, but usually they do. And so what you want to do is you've got to ask those questions to find where the edge is. And I think that's a lot of what this scene work is finding where the edge is, whether it's a psychological edge, whether it's a physical edge, it's usually a combination of both. And then creating a scene that sort of plays around with that edge and sort of builds to the edge and comes down off that edge, or maybe passes the edge, pushes the edge, pushes those boundaries. That's what you want to kind of play with. But you have to understand where they are first in order to do that. So negotiations. Then you usually like to set the scene. Lighting is important. What it likes to look like. Smells. You want to light a candle. Music, so crucial. There's so many great playlists on Spotify that can sort of like get you in the scene, that have a natural arc and natural sort of like journey. You know, what is the materials on the bed? Is, you know, like what are the temperature of the room? You want to be able to touch the body when you're sort of warming it up, for example. Like you can't just start with a cold body. If you're doing a scene and they're overheating, you want to be able to be conscious of that. So there's all these different data points, you know, like they might be, your sub might be in deep in subspace. And so they may not be able to communicate. And so that's why, you know, at the top you do things like, okay, you know, what is your safe word? And I always say this, never give someone a safe word. You say, what is your safe word? If they have one, great. If they don't have one, ask them, what do you think your safe word should be or would be? And why that's important is that you want them to think of something that they instinctively will call out when they are so deep in that subspace that they can't think of anything else. So if they say, oh, you know, school bus, great. For some reason, school bus is a word that resonates with you. So that is something that you will remember. You need to be able to call it out if you're in a space that makes you feel unsafe. Usually red, yellow, green is a sort of standard way to do it. I would also don't just assume that everyone has the same definition of what red, yellow, green is. Red might mean stop the scene. Yellow might mean slow down. Yellow might mean check in. Yellow might mean, stop for some people. So you really want to, what does yellow mean for you? What does green mean for you? What does red mean for you? So as a Dom, you're collecting information. You are understanding where the sub is so you can design it to them. Don't go in with the one size fits all, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once you have those down, you'd be like, okay, how do you want to play? How do you want to be addressed? Do you want to be a good girl? You want to be a dirty slut? Do you want to be, you want words of affirmation? You want degradation? You know, so like you got to ask all these questions to understand. So once you have that information, you then can set the scene, like I was saying, and then you take them on a journey. I always say you can always slow down. You can always pause. I think sometimes you get into these Dom scenes and they're like, got to go hard. You're like, yeah, I got to get there. Don't rush it. Mm-hmm. If you're unsure of something or if a scene is kind of like not quite clicking, slow down, pause, take a break, check in. Let me reset, you know, and then get it back on that train again. And so don't not being afraid to like slow down and pause and just go with the flow is probably the hardest thing as well. And so then once a scene is completed, aftercare. I always like to say there's three kink commandments. Communicate, ask for what you want. Consent, make sure they're into it too. And aftercare, be nice to them after you have sex. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you guys. They're like, everyone's like, oh yeah, you gotta be nice to them after you have sex. I didn't think about that. I'm like, yeah, it's super important, you know? And so that is before you ever strike someone, there's so much to set up in that moment to get them there so that when you strike them, it feels safe and not punitive.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I love all of that. I think that's a great, just like initial guideline of like everything that you need to kind of really think about. And it's true. I think that's why our connection was so great, is because all of these variables were, you know, all of them were addressed. And then, yeah, once you know that information, then you're able to like create this beautiful scene, which is, that's when the magic happens. Yeah. Do you have any favorite like experiences that you've explored, or have you even been experiencing on the submissive side of impact play?
Oh yeah. Whenever being a Dom was like, oh, I'm Dom, I've never subbed, I've never switched, I usually roll my eyes, because I have felt all of the tools that I use. I have been on the receiving end as well. Cause you got to know how it feels. Totally. Like if someone hasn't, you know, experienced that tool as on both sides of it, they're not going to understand the full power of that tool. So every sub I talked to, I was like, question the Doms, you know, hey, have you been a switch? Have you experienced this? What are you like when you're uncomfortable? How do you process when you feel unsafe or when you're out of control? Like, don't be afraid to ask the questions to the Dom to see how they react to uncomfortable situations as well, because you're going to want to know that they both have a understanding of themselves and sort of like a control of their tools. So as a little side note, but yeah, I mean, I've definitely switched. I've definitely experienced my tools on the receiving end. Some of my, you know, I've done a ton of scenes, and I think the ones that I love the most are the ones where we're most sort of connected. And, I've had a lot of really great experiences where people have been like, oh, that was really transformational, or I've really broken through and I've sort of like helped them through something, but also they've helped me through something as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that those interchanges are the best. Like I've definitely done service topping where I'm just like performing a service and sort of helping them out, but the ones where I get something out of it too. And I did a pet training one time, which was really fun. And that was my first pet training. And it was two women. One wanted to experience her becoming a cat, and the other one wanted to experience becoming a dog. And I like to think of pet training as like a very specific form of role play, you know, like, okay, like doctor, nurse, you kind of know what you're into. Pet training is almost like role play with very specific parameters. Like, oh, you're not going to be able to speak English, mm-hmm. but you can communicate in these ways. How would a cat communicate? How would a dog communicate? Mm-hmm. And sort of like, what are you trying to achieve? It's like, you know, in those scenes. And, And yeah, and I was like, it was like running an adorably hot kennel at some point because like the cat was running around, dog was running around. I was like, you know, like training them. They'd had feeding time and it was really great. And I both realized I totally, you know, may not even need a pet. I just need to do maybe have some pet trainings and whatnot. But like that was super fun. And I think that what I was able to get out of that was A, this was, you know, it was a new experience for me as well. And you can both learn and teach, you know, and I think being able to learn and teach and is so crucial. And I think so many DOMs don't do that, you know, or think they're just teaching or teachers just think they're teaching. And if you are a teacher and you can't always also learn, I don't want to learn from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want you, I don't like teachers who can't learn. Yeah. So yeah. I think that was like a really fun experience.
I love that.
Yeah. And I bought them collars and like little toys.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the store and like I got like specific toys for them and collars and like, hey, you got to invest in it, you know?
Yeah.
And at checkout, they were like, oh, you know, it's just for your pet. And I was like, kinda. Kinda. Thanks, PetSmart. Oh, that was. Thanks, PetSmart.
You're good. I just
spit all over your microphone.
Yeah, pet play is fun. And I've had an episode where I had a girl who she did. She was a dog. She's a puppy. That was her vibe. And I even have some friends that explore that too, where they have a pet bed and they lick from the bowl and things like that. I've always felt very connected to like my cat energy, more like cheetah cat or like jungle cat energy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm super sexual, I do like to, you know, crawl around and stuff, but it's not something that I've fully like tapped into in more of a DS relationship. But that sounds fun. And that you got a cat and a dog together.
Yeah, no, it was like dreams. It was super fun. And I think the key is, and people are like, oh, pet training, that's weird. If you understand the why of it, it's less weird. Yes, on its surface, that sounds wild. But when you got into it, you sort of understood, like, for example, the cat I was talking about, you know, A was relating to, you know, a childhood, you know, and sort of like what she related to in a cat and that energy, like, oh, I really like to be independent. I like to be of myself. I like to sort of be able to assess my surroundings without sort of leaning in. So like it had some deeper issues for herself that she found a connection with this animal that then really helped her understand herself better, or the dog very much liked to be of service, you know, and that was something that she leaned into and really loved to be very playful and very fun. And so like, it's, if you understand the why of it, the what of it sounds way, you understand it better, you know, it's way more relatable. I think that's key.
Totally. And even with impact play, it's like you were talking about in the beginning, asking questions, being curious, figuring out what the person is interested in experiencing and like what that intention is. Cause then you start to learn, or even people that are interested in exploring it, try to like really get deep and be like, okay, why would this feel good for me? Like, is it, maybe it's just a somatic release and there's like some energy that's like pent up, or maybe it's sensual for you and you like, you know, different sensations. And for me, when I get slapped, or any sort of impact, for me, it's like, I can even channel that vibration like through my body and kind of use it as almost like a foreplay to then instigate my orgasm and make it last even longer.
Yeah.
And so there's ways that people experience it differently too. And so it's true. You just have to be really aware and like kind of mindful and thinking of like what it is that you love about it, and then dive into it and don't be scared.
Yeah. I love that. Dive into it. Don't be scared. It's a t-shirt.
Well,
maybe like some on the underwear or something like that. Like,
dive into it.
Don't be scared. Like, maybe that's too inviting. That might be too inviting for panties. Women are like, I'm not wearing that. No.
I love it.
No.
Are there anything else that you could like, what makes floggers so, I mean, this is leather, right?
It's cowhide.
Cowhide. Yeah, leather. Okay. Gotcha. And yeah, so like, describe how this works and how you can use even the other parts of it.
Yeah, this is a cowhide flogger. I like gold, black and gold are my colors. It's a heavier flogger. So, you know, there's generally two types, categories of big impact play. There's stingy and thuddy. Stingy has a very, you know, it's more surface and the skin is sort of like pops. Give me your arm for a second. It's like that stingy. Okay. Whereas thuddy is more of a thuddier feeling. It goes deeper into the tissue. So it's like, you know, and it's like this, for example, is a cord beater. It's cord. So it doesn't flex as much. It's a little bit firmer. And so it's sort of like, it feels like a thuddier feeling. Whereas this is a dragon tail and it has, it's a whip format, which is more stingy. So it can like slap the skin and actually it can even cut the skin. So it can be very, very sharp. So, and some people like stingy, some people like thuddy, some people like stingy and thuddy, some people like it all, but to understand what they feel like, and this is why you have to use your tools and understand what they feel like, oh yeah, yeah. Like, you know, I had this one sub who you could break their skin with this. They could take stingy pain and had a high tolerance for stingy pain. But then I used this beater on them and just very lightly in certain areas and they broke down and started crying and couldn't take it. And you're like, oh my God, the amount of impact was nothing, you know, but it was the type of impact that this felt. And it was, you know, the issues are in your tissue. Like your body holds trauma, your body holds energy, your body holds these things. It's very somatic. So if I can access that differently with this tool, things will come up and you may or may not even realize it. That's why you have to be really attentive to your subs. So people think that it's just about power and force, but it's not. It's not just about power and force. It's about the type of force and it's about the location of the force, about the energy being used. So, you know, just because someone can take a lot of pain with this, they may not be able to take a lot of impact with this. And so like, it's really kind of important. So they see the difference.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Cause the first time I had a crop, it's far more stingy. That one was. And I too was like, I kind of broke down, but I had always loved like being spanked and being flogged. But that like sting really hit me in a way that I was like, okay, no, I'm out. Tapping out.
Yeah. So and we can do like a quick demo. I can definitely do some of these tools, but I want to kind of go back to just with the hand, you know, and we kind of did it on your arm a little bit. If you want to play around with this with say your partner or something like that, you can say, okay, hey, let's explore this. And obviously, you know, you talk to your partner and see what they're into, but say, okay, do you like stingy or thuddy? And the best way to quickly do that is stingy. You hold your hand very sort of firm and flat and you like slap the skin like this, very light, you know, like you can kind of hear the stinginess of it. Thuddy is where you cup your hand and you say, okay, I'm going to cup my hand and you sort of like hit a little bit deeper. And even doing it on yourself, you sort of feel the difference between that and that, like this and this, this and this. And, play around with it. You know, I think the other thing to know is that when you're doing impact, generally you want, you know, more tissue, the better, you know, the thicker, the better in most situations, but the thicker, the better. So like things like your glutes, your butt, you know, are great. Your thighs are great. You know, like your the meaty part of your back. You want to avoid places where there's like really thin skin. Like basically, if you were to get a tattoo in that area and it would be painful, be careful when you do impact. You know, like so that's a good rule of thumb. Your lower back is usually a no-go area because your kidneys are right there and you can damage your kidneys with some really impact place. So if you're getting flogged and someone's like hitting you in the lower back a lot, you probably want to like back off of that because your lower back is really a dangerous area. You know, but basically meaty areas are really good to play with. And I would say, play around with your partner, start slow, start softly, and then gradually work your way up. Usually say, hey, there's a scale from 1 to 10. You know, this is a 1, this is a 2, this is a 3. You know, when you ask the sub, what does this feel like to you? Is this on a scale from 1 to 10, what does this feel like? And they'll be like, oh, that's a 2. I'm like, okay, what is this like? Oh, that's a 5. And so you can kind of get a gauge on like what the impact is and how hard you are hitting and how they're receiving it. And then you say something like, okay, do you want to go to an 8 or a 7? Or do you want to stay at a 2 or a 3? You know, and so you can sort of gauge it that way. So the scale from 1 to 10 is important. Red, yellow, green. Green usually means I like it, keep going, go harder. Yellow generally means slow down or check in. Like it's sort of getting to a place that I'm like, all right, you know, what are you doing here? And then red generally means stop the scene. And so those are just some basic you know, set up situations that you can sort of go in even with your hand and your partner right now. And then, or you can sort of, you know, go to a dungeon or have some friends or get some other tools and sort of play around with them and see what these different sensations feel like. You know, and then, yeah, like I was going to say, like flogging is really great. You want to sort of keep the falls together. It's hard to sort of do it with this microphone all of them. Like, hello, you know,
kind of, you can move it.
Let me see. All right. I got it. All right. This is not working. All right. No, I'm not this. Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. No, like it's not going to work, but yeah. But you know, you want to sort of like keep the falls together. You know, and so if I got one, it's going to impact something. I got to hit something. But can I hit the bed? And that will be, yeah, I'm just going to move this there. But yeah, you want to sort of like, you want to come, be able to sort of like do, keep it so that the falls are together and you're hitting in the same spot. And I would say if you have these things, just try to practice on a pillow, practice hitting the same area over again. It's not about the accuracy of it. Because again, you don't want to be in a, you want to, you know, do the accuracy of it because you don't want to be in a situation where you're hitting an area you're not intending to. So, yeah. It's a lot of fun, especially if you like to whip and hit. And so, yeah, I don't
I love that.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And I think, like you said, hitting that same spot and just kind of getting the rhythm with your hands. And if the more you practice and the more you practice on your partner or yourself, I think that's important too. And it doesn't have to be a sexual setting when you're exploring. It can be like, okay, baby, I got this tool. Let's give this a try.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you in some different spots. You tell me what you like. Like you, we can do the red, yellow, green, or, you know, a scale and just kind of explore and see what feels good. And then when you know kind of your boundaries and what your partner enjoys and what you enjoy, then you can create this really sexy scene to maybe lead to sex. Or even, you know, you don't always have to impact play. To me, sometimes it's fun on its own. It doesn't have to be sex, like sex doesn't have to follow it. You know, it could be like a prerequisite to dinner, and that could be like your foreplay. And then you can like wait until after dinner till, you know, get spicy. So I think there's a lot of ways for you to like use it and just not feel like the pressure. You know,
I have done more impact play scenes that do not involve like penetrative sex than I've done impact play scenes that have. And that is both by design and by intention, because the scene itself can be more powerful oftentimes than sex, you know, and depending on what you're trying to do for it. So no, it does not have to involve sex. I think sometimes taking sex off the table, again, allows some freedom and some exploration that if it was on the table, it wouldn't. So, play with it both ways. I think, oftentimes, orgasms feel like they're the destination and goal for a lot of kink scenes. And it very much is, but it is not the only way to achieve, you know, what your intentions are, you know? And sometimes that can be a little distracting, especially for guys. Cause you know, we're very much like, you know,
goal oriented.
Yeah. So like, you're like mission orgasm, you know, you know, yeah. Mission orgasm is also the name of my new podcast. No, it's not. I'm like going right up against Sweet Release, you know, like the male version of this podcast, Mission Orgasm, sounds so, so man, so, so hetero.
Yeah, when you have that mission, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's
not ideal. Sweet Release is better.
Thank you. When was the last time you had that Sweet Release, since we're talking about Sweet Releases?
Actually, yeah, I was thinking about this. I had a situation recently where, and I'll be totally honest and vulnerable. It was a sort of a partner of mine that I was getting to, it was a casual relationship, sexual relationship that, I personally was getting too emotionally involved in, and I had to take a step back. And so the last time we played, it was sort of our, we knew it was going to be like the last time we'd actually were going to have sex in a while. And it was sort of knowing that. So like going into a play situation, knowing that this is probably going to be the last time we play for a while. And I had to be the one to do it, which is not a very comfortable, you know, it's very vulnerable and scary and you feel embarrassed. You feel like a, you know, loser to some degree, or you feel very vulnerable that you are, you can't handle it or something is wrong or whatever, but you can't control your emotions sometimes. So it was a release where it was kind of like our final one at the time,
a farewell release.
Yeah. And that was really interesting because it was, you know, it's like watching the end of movie Titanic. You're like, oh, you know, I love this. And like, we're gonna, you know, pay me like one of your school children, French girls, but are like, I don't know. I can't remember the name of the movie, but like, it was a very interesting experience knowing that it was going to be the last one for a while. And so I think that that was very cool.
So you just didn't want to keep going because emotionally you felt like she had maybe made a boundary where it was meant to stay casual.
We had like with the scene sort of set context for a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that emotionally I was, you know, I was sort of not able to keep that boundary. So I was like, oh, I need to step back a bit. And so you have to sort of make those decisions sometimes, like, yeah, you know, because you always have to check into where you are. And sometimes it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, I really want to do this, or be in this relationship, or, you know, be in this scene, or, you know, whatever it may be. But if you can be honest with yourself and be like, you know what, I like that person more than I think I did. Or I like, you know, I don't like that person as much as this person thinks I do. Or I'm not as into this as I thought I was. And both, it's hard to check in with yourself and understand that. And then it's even harder sometimes to communicate that with the other person. So you really have to do, but you're not honoring yourself and you're not honoring the other person if you don't do that. And so it's really important to sort of be mindful of that. And sometimes those are the hardest conversations when you recognize that you and another person might not be on the same page, even when you both agreed to be on the same page. And then to be able to honestly and in a safe way, because we're still very close and we're still friends and, you know, you never know the future, we might be back again or whatever, but like to be able to communicate when you're not on the same page is harder sometimes, but more important than just saying that you're on the same page. So, yeah.
Well, it's nice to hear, because I think a lot of men, not so much in like our friend group or even in my relationship, like you are very emotional aware, as is he. And so I am surrounded by some pretty emotionally aware men, but I think the typical guys and even a lot of my sweets, you know, they struggle with that and they struggle with communicating that and even realizing that maybe energetically there is like, you're not in the same place anymore. Maybe you've been in this relationship for a long time and you start realizing that it's not a fit anymore, but you're kind of so scared to even communicate that. What has helped you just like communicate that and be more present and aware in your relationships?
Well, one is you have to know who you are and be comfortable with who you are and be honest with yourself. I think you can't be honest with somebody else if you're not honest with yourself. And I think that's the number one thing. And so that's why everyone says, don't get into a relationship unless you're ready yourself. I think we have a lot of codependency going along where you're like, okay, I'm not, you know, completely healed, but I want to get with you because you make me feel healed or you heal me or whatever. But like, you've got to be able to,
you complete me.
I hate that fucking quote. It's a great movie line, terrible way to live your life. Yeah, you know, it's sure. Like, it's horrible, you know? So you have to be able to complete yourself. First of all, you have to be able to self-soothe. You have to be able to self-heal and you have to be honest with yourself. And so that's the first and most important step. Then once you're able to do that, you'll be able to better recognize when you're in a situation that makes you feel safe to be able to communicate. So, you know, if you're, say, with your partner and you love that person and you have committed to that person and you want to stay, but you might not feel as in love as you did, or may not feel the spark, you should still be able to go to them and be like, hey, I'm kind of feeling this way. this is what I think I need to get back there, or this is what I would love help with in sort of rekindling that fire. I'm not saying that like once you're out of love, you separate. It could be rebuilding. Like if that's mm-hmm. the agreement that you make with somebody, you know, in this situation that, that's not the agreement we made, but right. and so that's why I had to step back. But where we partners, let's say, or where we commit, where we made, if we made a commitment to each other, then you should be able to feel safe with that person. Like, hey, I'm kind of not feeling this or that, you know, this is what I'm going to do, or this is how I'm going to self-soothe. This is how I could be supported in that. Are you up for that? Are you down for that? Like, is that something you're cool with too? Like, and them not taking it personally and realizing that's the biggest, you know, affirmation and vote of confidence you can give in somebody is to be honest mm-hmm. and vulnerable and ask for support. Like, that's just beautiful right there. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I think it's nice to hear from, you know, just a male's perspective, because I talk about that all the time, but it's, we have different brains, different ways we think. Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate that advice. And thanks for sharing your wisdom on flogging and impact play and just kind of curating that scene. Do you have any kind of final tips that we should go through before I let you go? Or,
No, I think it just going, you know, like I said, the three kink commandments that I always say, communicate, consent, mm-hmm. aftercare. But I think, you know, learning yourself, like this is a journey, and it's really about the journey, not the destination. So if you can sort of reframe it like, hey, I want to go on this journey with you, you know, is like maybe it's the sweetest thing you can say to somebody and mm-hmm. sweetest thing to hear, be like, hey, let's journey together, you know, and that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, thanks so much, Maurice, for being here and for sharing all of your just beautiful knowledge with us. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Yeah. And check out Kiki Comedy. If I can blow a plug, like kikicomedy.com. Come see the show. I'd love to see you there anytime, both of you guys. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Appreciate it. Well, thanks again to you, Sweets, for being here. I hope you guys learned some sweet release knowledge today and can incorporate it in your relationships and your partnerships and lovers. And yeah, just continue being sweet to yourself. We'll see you next time. Thanks again, Maurice.
Thank you.